Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our meditation this morning is a portion of the gospel lesson read before in Luke chapter 5, namely verses 4 through 9, which I would read again as follows. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Savior, the perfect source of all of our blessings, beloved hearers of His wonderful word. Have you ever had the feeling that no matter how hard you worked, how hard you tried, how diligently you labored at something, you just simply couldn't get it done? Almost everyone runs into that kind of frustration at some time in his life. And for some people, this occurs more frequently than for others. Indeed, lack of success occasionally becomes a syndrome or a typical condition which seems to haunt a person's whole career and his daily life year in and year out. Sometimes Christians too find themselves on this vexing treadmill of frustration, but provided they have been faithful and diligent in their work, and not just indolent and lazy, God's children have wonderful comforts and recourses which the children of this world do not enjoy because of their spiritual blindness and their estrangement from the covenants of God's gracious promises. Yes, we Christians have the blessed knowledge that our seeming frustrations are simply loving chastisements from our Heavenly Father to test, to refine our faith, our confidence in Him, to drive us ever closer to His love for us in Christ Jesus, and to remind us of our dependency on Him for our successes. We Christians have prayer, by which we as the adopted children of our Heavenly Father, by faith in His Son, have the blessed right to apply to Him for His help, for His guidance, for His blessing. And we have the ironclad assurance that all things work together for good to them that love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose, that is, to them who have been called by the Holy Spirit of God to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and thus to be heirs with Christ of everlasting life in heaven. Indeed, in the text of God's Word before us this morning, we have the assurance and the demonstration of the Savior himself in the miracle of the draught of fishes, that we Christians can confidently expect the Lord's blessing on our work, not when we depend upon ourselves and our own wisdom and expertise and experience, but when we trustingly follow his word. We read in our text that after Jesus had finished preaching to the multitudes on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Gennesaret, he told Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Jesus, of course, knew full well what he was asking Peter to do. He also knew full well how his request would strike Peter as rather odd from a professional fisherman's standpoint. After all, it was now the middle of the day when the bright, hot sun tended to drive the fish into shaded weed beds and sheltered crevices, also to protect them from birds of prey like gulls and hawks. And Jesus told Peter to fish out in the deep water, normally the least likely place to find fish at any time of the day. Moreover, Jesus was actually suggesting a draft of fishes under these unlikely conditions. A huge haul of fish, not just a catch of a few. Now, while Peter was not about to contradict the Savior or to reject his bidding, Peter was not beyond letting Jesus know of his personal and professional opinion about fishing that day. For Simon, answering, said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." In other words, he and his fellow fishermen, his fellow professionals, had worked hard, applying their collective expertise to their labors, and they had worked hard at what their experience told them was the very best time of the day to catch fish, and yet they had come up empty. "Just thought I would mention that, Lord," said Peter to Jesus. If it had been up to Peter and to James and John, his friends and partners in the shipping, in the fishing business, they would no doubt have put off any thought of fishing, at least to later in the evening or perhaps early the next morning. They were, after all, calling it a day, as we can see from the fact that they had gone out of their ships and were washing their nets. They were putting away their gear. Now, we two brethren generally work at our daily calling, and even on special projects, relying on our own personal wisdom and expertise, as well as on our own energy and strength to complete our tasks and to gain success. And that makes perfectly good sense in the temporal realm here in this world. But when the children of this world do that, when they rely alone upon themselves, upon their training, upon their tenacity, they are guaranteed absolutely nothing in the way of success. They might achieve it, they might not achieve it. There are no guarantees. And when they do succeed, as many do, this is purely God's merciful providence of his creatures, who, Jesus says, maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain upon the just and upon the unjust. Matthew 5:45. However, when such people thanklessly spurn God's merciful providence of his creatures, when they spurn his gracious blessings, and especially when they reject his only begotten Son as their Savior from sin, they will have a fearful accounting to give, even for having received these undeserved blessings at God's hand in unbelief. For remember, the psalmist Asaph said that he was envious of the prosperity of the wicked. He didn't seem to be prospering as they were prospering. And yet, he says, when I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. As with the rich man in hell, their successes here in this world really amount to nothing in the last analysis. Moreover, when even we in our sinful flesh, in which dwelleth no good thing, fail to recognize the Lord as our gracious provider and the source of our success, his holy law rings out loud and clear in our ears to curb that flesh and to remind us that of our utter unworthiness of his blessings. His law says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. He says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And when that law brings us to true contrition over our self-trust and ingratitude, we are forced to confess with Jacob of old, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. As even we Christians are completely undeserving of God's blessing upon our work, and oft-times his chastening hand is laid upon us to remind us of our total dependency upon him. Of our total dependency upon his fatherly, divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in us, as we confess with Luther. Thus, we, just like Jesus' disciples, sometimes toil all the night without accomplishing much of anything. And this is not because the Lord hates us. It's not because the Lord is punishing us, for by faith in his Son, we are his own adopted children. But he, as our faithful Father, wants to reinforce to us the fact that we cannot expect his blessing on our work when we merely depend upon ourselves, upon our own wisdom, upon our imagined expertise, and upon our experience here in this world. The self-confident expression, I can handle it, is usually just wishful thinking. How then can we confidently expect the Lord's blessing upon our work? The answer is clearly set before us in our text. For Peter, even though his flesh had exerted itself to point out his own efforts to the Lord Jesus, This Peter, in his new man of faith, now yields cheerfully to the Savior's word and complies with a request that to his sinful flesh seems rather useless and perhaps even preposterous. And Peter says, nevertheless, in spite of all of our labor, in spite of all of our work and expertise, fruitless though it was, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And as soon as he and his fellow workers had done this, our text says, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now, the Lord could not have demonstrated more clearly how both these disciples and we Christians today can confidently expect his blessing upon our work. When we trustingly follow his word, in spite of fleshly inclinations to the contrary, we have the Lord's assurance of his divine guidance, of his divine help, of his divine blessing. Even as he tells us in these familiar passages, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, follow it. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things which we concern ourselves with so much day by day, all these things shall be added unto you. We may not see it happen at first. We may not see it happen at all. But seeing is not believing. And whether we see something or not does not at all mitigate our Lord and Savior's promise to us. Now, this is just as true for our lives, for our work, for our occupation and daily tasks, as it was for Peter and his fellow fishermen. For when we put the Lord and his word first on our list of priorities and take all of our other concerns in this life captive to the obedience of his word, then we have his assurance. Then we know that all things work together for good to them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And Paul continues in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, what shall we then say to these things? So, knowing how the Lord prospers our work when we follow his word, what shall we say to these things, to all of our concerns here in this temporal life? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Believe it. Hold God to his word and to his promise. And this blessed assurance is as good and valid for our, not only for our earthly and temporal existence as we go about our daily calling, but don't forget that at the end of this gospel lesson, from which our text is taken, Jesus recruited these disciples for fishing of another sort, fishing for men with a net of his precious gospel, with a net that doesn't break. For that is to be our chief endeavor in this life, to let down the net of the gospel at Jesus' command, go ye and make disciples of all nations. Go and enclose a great multitude of souls for heaven. That's the work of his dear church here on earth. This is your task and mine as spiritual fishermen for the Lord Jesus. What are we supposed to do? Preach the word, Paul instructs Christian pastors through his words to Timothy. Preach the word to those who are already the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, that they may grow and be strengthened in that faith unto salvation. And preach the gospel to those who have not yet heard the news of reconciliation, who have not yet been brought to the knowledge of the truth, who have not yet been saved eternally by grace through faith in God's wonderful assurances. That and that alone is the work or the true mission of Jesus' church here on earth. Now, just like Simon Peter and his partners, many spiritual fishermen labor long and arduous hours trying to net precious souls for the kingdom of heaven. But they do so according to their own ideas and methods, which all too often have little, if anything, to do with the commission of the Lord Jesus. Namely, that his disciples preach and teach his precious word. And so, such fishermen turn churches into glorified clubhouses, social agencies, restaurants, sports arenas, making such purely social activities the drawing card, the bait, or the net for spiritual fishing, hoping that they can thereby build the kingdom of God. The sad fact, however, is that such fishermen can toil all the night at such endeavors and still take nothing. Why? It is simply because such methods, with the wrong net and with the wrong bait, they have no assurance of the Lord's blessing upon their work. We could engage literally thousands of people in social activities, in social media, in fairs, in fun activities, in dinners, in athletics, and not gain even one soul for heaven, because those things are not the means of God's grace. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not by doing all of those social things. We can see this happening every day in local churches all over the world, where everything from soup to nuts, so to speak, from a jam-packed social calendar in their fellowship hall, to a food pantry, to free lunches for the community, to a quality educational program even in a Christian day school, are often used as gimmicks for growth in the church. But my dear hearers, when we trustingly follow the Savior's word, and we fish according to the Master's specifications, then we can confidently expect his blessing upon our work for his kingdom. The net we are to use is the net of the gospel. The very same net by which the Holy Spirit of God called you and me to be saints and heirs with Christ of everlasting glory. He tells us, make disciples of all nations. Not by offering them a hamburger. Not by putting them on your team. But by baptizing them. By teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That is our task. And those are the means whereby we are to accomplish it. And so we take our fallible reason captive to his word, and we conform our ideas to his holy will. And we say with Peter, I have lots of ideas for making the church grow. I'm one of those people that really knows how to reach other people or to reach out to other people. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. If the gospel of Christ is not the drawing card that will reach people and bring them into the church to hear God's word, then nothing will. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul says. And that's all he preached. He didn't preach politics. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Put the gospel out there. Call the people with the good news of God's reconciliation of poor sinners unto himself for Jesus' sake. That's the net. Nevertheless, at thy word, in spite of all my training and expertise, I will let down that net. And when we regularly and consistently do that, even here in our little congregation, where the growing seems to be almost imperceptible, it's not the fault of the gospel net. But what is the result that we can expect as Christians? What can we expect? What can we look forward to? What can we hope for on the basis of what God says in his word? Listen to this often neglected passage from Isaiah 55. We know it well. We memorized it in confirmation class. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Just as surely as that is a truism here in this world, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Concerning no other means, concerning no other program, concerning no gimmick, concerning no scheme, have we such a great and glorious promise of success. Concerning no other technique for spiritual fishing than the net of the gospel, have we any assurance of success at all? at thy word, I will let down the net, said Simon Peter to the Lord Jesus. And so on the basis of this instructive passage of God's word, we ask ourselves, is that what we want? Do we want a draft of spiritual fishes under the Lord's blessing? Do we want, first of all, to keep the fish that we already have and to nurture their faith unto salvation? Do we want to net in many more precious souls for whom our Savior died? Souls whom the Lord God Himself reconciled unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but imputing to them the righteousness of Christ, so that by faith in what He has done, they might be saved eternally. Is that what we want? Oh, then, at His word, following His divine directive, let down the precious net of His gospel into the deep water where you can't see what's going on. Remember when you were a child, you used to let down your baited hook in front of a fish's nose that you could see, hoping that he would snap at the worm on the end of that hook. 9 times out of 10, he sniffed it and swam away. We are to let down a net of the gospel into the deep water and trust His word. Trust with confidence what we can expect on the basis of His assurance. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not by some other means. So just bag the other means and stick to the net of the gospel. In all of your endeavors, both temporal and spiritual, you can confidently expect the Lord's blessing on your work, not when you depend upon yourselves, not when you depend upon your own wisdom, not when you depend upon your own expertise, imagined though it may be, and not dependent upon your experience, but when you trustingly follow your Savior's word in everything. And if thy task be thus begun with the Savior's blessing, we sing with the hymn writer, safely then thy course will run, not thy soul distressing. Good will follow everywhere while thou here must wander. Thou at last the joy will share in the mansions yonder. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.